In this episode, discover why digital agencies struggle with video and how the traditional rules of content marketing still apply.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery, brought to you by Wirebuzz.
What's a happening? All right. So whenever I go to digital marketing conferences or I'm speaking, and I rarely, if ever, listen to the other speakers because I don't know. I don't mean this to sound egotistical, but the information is generally standard or maybe old and not what not something I'm going to find valuable. But whenever I see Arnie Ken from Vertical Measures on the agenda, I always pull up a chair in a very big crowded room to listen to his keynote speeches. I'm always taking notes. Many of that information gets back into this podcast so you can learn from it. And Arnie's agency, Vertical Measures, is a rock star SEO content agency. They're actually right down the street from Wirebuzz's offices. And Arnie and I, in theory, are supposed to have lunch once a quarter. But because of our travel schedules, we are more likely once every 6 months or even at times once a year, get in front of each other. But the tips that he gives out at his keynote are often so valuable that I'm expecting to get that when we go to lunch and I try to pick his brain so I can bring that information. You know what I did today? Even better, I brought Arnie to the podcast to share his insights with you. So sit back, listen to a really great interview with Arnie Ken, one of my mentors in the digital space from Vertical Measures. You know, one of the things that makes digital marketing so fascinating is watching the evolution and how we all started off with a very small understanding, and years later, video and digital and content and web development and e-commerce, it all went from like this one star where one person could specialize in it all. And then the big bang happened. And before we knew it, everybody was specializing in these other little areas. And over the years, I've got to watch our guest and his company shine in the content SEO space. I'm joined right now by Arnie Ken, the CEO and founder of Vertical Measures. Hey, Arnie.
Hey, Todd. How are you doing?
I'm honored. I'm really honored.
I'm honored
because of our history.
I'm more honored.
Because of our history and how far we've come along the way, and watching your company grow has really been exciting for me. And I know you've got the same feelings because you were there back in the day when I was struggling and needed help. And I'm just really honored to have you here and on the podcast.
I appreciate that. Thanks. Beautiful facility, by the way.
Thank you.
Awesome. Love the tour.
Yeah, thank you. All right. So Arnie, tell me a little bit about Vertical Measures for those that are hearing you for the first time. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about our history. We're also going to talk about some things like why agencies struggle with video. And we'll also talk about buyer's journey and those pieces that all fit in.
Sure. Sounds great. Well, you know some of this, of course, but we technically were founded in 2006, really started to understand that we could probably become an agency in about 2008, got some office space. And so as of this point, we're about 8 years old, and we have gone through that path that you talked about. We were really originally an SEO agency, but today we're a full-fledged digital marketing agency offering most of the pillars that you need to have to be successful online, you know, SEO, links, content, all sorts of different paid media, content amplification. So pretty much the full gamut now.
Now, I've known of Arnie for years. We've both been speakers at all the big conferences. We run into each other frequently. And I always get excited when I see you in some weird city and we're both speaking. But way, way back in the day, 6 months into starting Wirebuzz, we didn't have any revenue. My wife pushed me and said, "You need to go get a job today because we are broke." And I went and interviewed with you, and you offered me a job on the spot. Good on you.
Yes.
And I said, "I think, Arnie, I need 24 or 48 hours to look at a couple deals that I've got on the table with other companies to see if they're moving." And you were a gentleman, and you said, "Take your 48 hours and get back to me." And I didn't tell my wife that I needed the 48 hours because I really needed to see if I was going to lose out on some considerable projects. And in that 48 hours, I got three verbals, and unfortunately I turned down the job with you, but those companies are still with us today. And, we've been off to the races, and, but I often think about where I would have been if we were able to work together, and that's a lot of fun for me to think about that.
Well, and as you know, I often think about the same.
Yeah.
How different vertical measures might be today, honestly. Yeah. Had those companies not called you in that 48-hour window. But you're right, things happen, right? It was, I was happy to extend you the offer, and I'm thrilled to see how well it's turned out for you.
Yeah, so. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. And that offer's still open.
Yeah. You promise? Let's talk after this, okay?
Right, sure.
We might need to sit down. So, you know, I'm particularly nerdy about content marketing and digital marketing. I've sat through many of your speeches at SMX and at Digital Summit and so on, and I always find myself learning some really valuable things. One of the things I'm most interested in, and I hope you can be candid with me about this, is why do digital agencies struggle so much with the in the video when it becomes when the topic of video comes up?
Yeah. Like vertical measures, right?
Well,
actually, we're a good example of it, I think. And I know, of course, at this point, hundreds of agencies all around the country, actually all around the world, that are digital agencies like ours. But if there was one product category, how you categorize it, that they aren't successful with, it's probably video. And we're finding, you know, there's a more dominant force out there of companies that specialize in video only, right? And I'm sure you know all of those. And I just think from our, you know, I think the other agencies would agree with me. I just think from our own perspective, you know, we grew up on paid SEO. We knew how to write blogs. Right. We knew how to do those things. But creating video is a really different skill set.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not even sure I would know how to go out and hire a really good videographer or you know, we have creative people on our team, but I'm not sure they're totally comfortable with us making that leap, that investment, which is, as you know, you just showed me, it's a big investment to have all the right tools, all the right hardware in place to do a really good job with it. So I think we take the easier route, like we have done with you over the years, is just find a partner and outsource and you know, serve our client together, but just haven't, you know, we have not made the leap to where we're a full, we produce video, but not like you guys do.
So Arnie's company and Vertical Measures and Wirebuzz work closely on projects that revolve around video. We know, like, and trust each other. We're right down the street. In fact, it is that proximity that allows us to work on projects together and execute at a successful level. But I think the video is a new paradigm. And most of us, when we got started in digital, got started in search or creating websites and understanding that part. And the whole thought of taking on the video beast, which really, for a business owner, has all these other crazy elements that feel like a big loss.
Right.
It's easier to swim in your lane and then work with people that you know, like, and trust.
Right.
Right?
No, I think that's the history. I mean, I hate to put you on the spot, but do you remember when YouTube actually was founded?
Sure. 2005, 2007, right. 2005.
So think about that. I mean, like, I started diving into the internet in 1995.
Right.
So video wasn't even a factor until 10 years later, which is, you know, maybe half of the whole internet life cycle or thereabouts. Yeah. And I think that's also, like you just said, we all started in something other than video. So it's not first nature to us. It's second or third nature to us.
Absolutely. And what we're also seeing is most of our clients' in-house teams can't execute on video. They can't even post it right because then they have unique challenges, like, you know, what about the copy on that page or what video player or all these weird things that for us, because we're video people, our first nature become a weird transition when you go to hand off those videos. It's interesting. It's almost like videos Mars and we've all been specializing on Earth, you know, for a while.
Well, yeah. I think that's a great analogy.
Yeah.
You know, we don't see that on the client side as much as you do, because you're actually delivering, you know, you're out there doing shoots and all that. We do see from an implementation standpoint, we'll help them optimize the page that where the video is going to be hosted or embedded on their site or whatever. And we know best practices from that standpoint, but I don't know what kind of issues you might run into from a videographer, editor, you know, all the other resources that are needed internally to get the video ready to be posted.
And you know, from seeing my presentations, my keynote, because I recently came and did one at your office for your team, which was a lot of fun. Yeah. And that there are like 1,000 questions that fit into the strategy session of laying out an exact video project so the person gets to the end and converts.
A thousand
1,000 steps along the way.
1,000?
Literally. There's got to be 100 questions in each one. Right. And if they're executed wrong, everything comes crumbling down and we see it. You know, we've got a client that we did 45 videos. I might have shared this with you at lunch today, that we did 45 videos with, but they wanted to execute the videos on their own. And they still, a year later, have not put a single one up, which to my team feels like a fail.
Yeah. And that, by the way, is not unique to just video. That has happened to us on written content, infographics, image. I saw a study that I don't remember the percentage now, but if I could, you would not believe it. And I didn't believe it when I saw it, but it's something like, it was like 70% of the content produced for Fortune 1000 companies never goes live, which is really discouraging.
Yeah.
But I believe it based on our own experiences. Mm-hmm. You know, you run into legal departments, the marketing team, branding, you know, everybody's got these sign-offs and God forbid somebody in that chain leaves the company, which has happened to us a couple of times. And all of a sudden we're trying to figure out who it is that's supposed to approve this next. Months go by and it never happens.
And whenever there's a new person that comes in, then that new person is more likely to turn their nose on what the original previous work did because they want to look like it was theirs. Better.
Right.
Right? Yep. Right. It's weird when that happens.
Yeah.
All right. Tell me what most companies, when they're approaching you, of course, they're looking for search. But what are some of the other things that they look for? And what's the end result value that Vertical Measures provides?
Yeah, I would say they reach out to us. Usually they hear about us. They could do a Google search, find us, see us at a conference, whatever it is. They reach out to us, maybe fill out a form on the site or call us or whatever.
Or they see you speaking.
Or whatever. They'll come talk to us.
You're speaking all the time. Yeah. I was in the audience. Yeah. I wanted to hire you.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. I think you kind of did a few years ago. We helped you out. We helped each other out. But today, fortunately, I think we have our business development team thinking this way, the company's thinking this way, that usually, even if the prospect, when they're first talking to us, don't know what they want, we know that eventually this is going to boil down to leads or revenue, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, as two business owners, we know that, it's really cool to get likes and shares and all that stuff and views. But, if it's not turning into revenue in the end, or like I say, sometimes you can only measure it to the lead, it just doesn't matter.
Right.
And so we're getting much better at qualifying that right off the bat. You know, how many leads do you get today per month in different, whatever your category is? You know, if you're a university, how many, you know, potential student starts can you get out of those leads? What's your average cost per lead? And how can we improve any of that for you?
So it's going
to that's really where we like to start.
You want to start and you want to prove out where the rubber's always going to meet the road, which will be at ROI.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And have that conversation right away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I actually was on a call this morning with a client. And he was like, well, we're talking to other video creators. And then I have to quickly say, you know, there are a lot of people that can create video. I'm really interested in ROI and how we speed that up or make it larger by using video.
Yeah.
And most of the people they're talking with, if not everyone, doesn't know how to do that with video.
They're selling products.
They're selling products.
Right. And I would say for years, we kind of did that too. And that's why it's taken a bit to really get the mindset different at Vertical Measures, where right now I try to get everybody to say, we deliver results.
Yeah.
We might use SEO, links, video, content, paid. You know, we might use these tools to get it done. But in the end, we know we're going to be measured on results and we want to deliver results because you'll stick with us for a long time if we do. And that's the mindset that we're trying to get in Vertical Measures and really should be out there.
Yeah,
right.
That's exactly
that's what we're all about.
What I'm doing here.
Yeah.
And I also think if we're laser focused on what the client is going to be judged by, or the client's boss is going to judge us by,
right,
the quicker we could all get into alignment with each other and start hitting home runs.
Right.
Right.
I know probably you've never lost a client. But in case, just pretend you have.
I know you. It's just for those who are listening, you should detect that he's heckling me a little bit because he knows our story.
But everyone has lost clients, right? Everybody has, right? But I would say, and I actually don't know all the stories, but I would say
but
in our case,
you've heard me say that before, and then you challenge me.
But many times you'll find out it is that CEO or somebody along the way who really didn't understand why you were hired to begin with.
Right.
And it wasn't communicated well, and your value wasn't communicated well.
Yes.
And they don't understand it. They just see that, oh, it's $10,000 a month or whatever it is, you know, and we need to cancel that.
Right.
You know, and usually that's the case where we're involved at the C level or a director level where they really get that we're trying to help them grow their business. That's how we have nice long-term happy clients.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, that's the goal for both of us.
I agree. I agree 100%. We recently fired a client, but we could also tell that they were changing the ROI goals. So it was like being a kicker with a different field goal post 1 month after the next, and eventually just became insanity.
Yeah.
So I just washed our whole agency's hands because I couldn't figure out where we were scoring.
Yeah, that's hard to do, but yeah, right? Sometimes you have to do it.
Yeah, it's a big check.
Yeah.
Tough to digest. I think a year later, we're just getting our feet back underneath us because it's hard to find that type of a company that's going to give you that type of a check every month.
Right.
But you're right. As soon as, if it's not clear from the beginning, or even the CEO later on, and it's not clearly communicated to them, then there's going to be a problem.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Search is really interesting. I know that you are one of these great search content gurus. And can you kind of give us an idea? I mean, it seems like Google's long-term path is always going to be about making Google a more valuable tool,
right,
providing more valuable search results at the top of the engine, right?
Right. Sure.
And once you have that, then it's pretty easy to kind of put a North Star out there of what you're supposed to be creating.
I don't know if I go that far, okay, but yeah. But I mean, that's all SEOs do is we try to figure that out,
okay,
right? We look at everything that ranks on the first page or the top five results in all sorts of keyword categories, and we try to figure out why that content is ranking that well. And then try to beat it. Mm-hmm. So you're right. That would, in essence, be the North Star and the way to head. But, it, you know, just the 15 years I've been doing this or however many years it's been, it's not infallible. I mean, you can produce what you think is the most awesome piece of content. As Rand Fishkin says, you know, 10 exit, build something 10 times better than what's already ranking
there. The definitive
there.
Guide.
Yeah, whatever it is. And you might not, it just might not show up on page one. And you don't necessarily always know why, but generally there's, you know, rules of thumb to follow. I think by now we all know what it takes to at least get on page one most of the time. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you want to cover those or not.
I think it's fun. But, let's talk about it.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I mean, there's simple SEO techniques like title tag actually still really matters. And so of course, does the title of your content. It seems as if the length of the content does matter. Embedding all kinds of add-ons to written content like video, images, call-outs, you know, whatever you can do. And we call it chunking the content, but you make it scrollable. Mm-hmm. So that when somebody hits that page, instead of seeing this wall of text or whatever, you know, big infographic and all that, you know, you chunk it up so they scroll it. Because oftentimes we don't read the content on a page.
The
moment we're there, we'll save it. Right. We skim it and then we save it. We'll come back to it or whatever. And that's actually the engagement that the algorithms, Google in particular, are looking for is, did somebody stay on this page? Did they scroll? Did they click through to another page on the site?
Yeah.
And if that's the case, that greatly increases your odds of that piece of content moving up in search results. And that's kind of what it is, being the best solution, being the authority. Putting time and effort into creating the content to begin with, because it's going to live forever or for many, many years, and just do it right instead of thinking about, you know, is there a silver bullet,
right,
or how can I crank this out? You know, which I hope everybody who's listening is way past that, but it just comes down to building a solid, awesome piece of content that's addressing that searcher's query.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's really helpful. You know, when I created the first video medical encyclopedia on the internet, we were cranking it out. And we had 8,000 pages, each with a video, each page transcribed. And we were doing, what is the definition for that condition? That's its own page. What is the treatment? What is the symptoms? What are the different alternative healing modalities? Each of them had their own page. And some of them would be 200 words or 500 words and a 30-second video, and some of them would be longer depending on the content. But, you know, we definitely started to see that the ones that we spent more time on,
sure,
the ones that had longer text and the videos were longer, got better results.
Yep.
And Google's looking for that. It's a quality indicator, right?
You know, and you've actually just mentioned something that most people miss, or many people miss. I don't know if it's most, which is transcribing the video, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it comes second nature to you. I don't know when you did that. Was that
2007?
Like, I was going to say it was about 10 years ago, if I remember mm-hmm. right, that you did that site. You know, and if you've been doing it that long, you're way ahead of everybody else.
People looked at me like I was crazy.
But we do that now. And every client on our own site and any client that'll let us do it, we try to transcribe it, even if it's a 15-minute, 20-minute video, right? It might end up being 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 words. Yeah. But that is where the teeth are that Google can sink its teeth into, right? Teeth are there to Google.
I like it.
Can you help rephrase that for
me? No, I like it. Wherever, I think it's
that's
good.
What Google can sink its teeth into. And that's what helps your rankings right there, you know, as opposed to just embedding the video on a page and maybe giving a 30-word summary or description of it. You put that full text out there and it can crush it.
Yeah, I remember looking for a transcriber in the States in 2007 and finding it being not cost effective to do 8,000 transcriptions and having the founder of the company look at me like I was crazy and me having to defend, hey, if you ever want somebody to find it, you're going to need the transcripts. And then I found somebody in India that in 2007 and they quoted me 11 cents. I don't know. It was like 11 cents a page or something. And I talked them down to 6 cents a page. And I felt like I was,
oh my God,
this, I page. Felt like this, I was this, this evil first world person. And, but it's really interesting because now transcription services are everywhere and you can go on to a site, like a freelancer site and get a transcriber that'll crank that out. And,
Well, do you use a tool yourself now?
Well, Christo's probably best. Hey, what do we use now?
But it's a service that's like 10 cents a minute.
Well, the one we use $1 a minute.
$1 a minute,
unless you want it overnight. And then I think it's $2 a minute.
Yeah,
I
mean, it's like it's a dollar.
That's nothing.
Yeah, 20-minute video for $20? Heck yeah.
you absolutely have to do it.
Right.
And it's important. And then you also need to make sure that you're adding that into the closed captioning.
Yeah, that's right. Video. Yep, right. That's right.
Google reads words, doesn't read video well.
Right, exactly.
Right?
At all, really.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
How hard is it what type of a daily commitment do you have to make in order to keep your really amazing depth of knowledge in the industry relevant and up to speed?
I read all of the time.
Yes, me
seriously.
Too.
I mean, I think we all do. We have to. We read and share internally.
Yeah.
You know, we create a lot of our own content. So therefore we are studying and researching and you know, as a part of just producing that content. But I probably, you know, when I say an hour, it's not going to sound like a lot, but an hour out of a day, I probably do read and study or watch video. Actually, I consume more video today than I ever have.
Right
on. Every day. Just have to.
You can thank the bandwidth gods.
And that's something, right? How much we can consume today,
right? Because when we got started, it was just a drip, and you'd never sit there and wait for a full video.
Yeah,
and now it's a foregone conclusion that you're going to get more information from a video quicker, and maybe that's why we prefer it as as people that are looking to learn about something,
right?
Gravitate towards video.
Yeah, I actually get frustrated on the airplane if I'm using the Wi-Fi. Because I can't watch video.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. I mean, you can try, you know, sometimes it'll work a little bit, but it's like 10 years ago. It's choppy and it's so frustrating. Yeah.
And we're on an airplane.
Exactly.
I know that
that's
very
a
well.
Whole nother story, right?
Are you keeping an eye on this transition that's taking place with mobile and how mobile first is now what we should be building towards?
Sure.
Is there any wisdom that you could be giving us and how that fits in with, like, for example, a company that hasn't already created a mobile-first platform, they're at a disadvantage.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
That happened a year or two ago. Right.
Yep. And when you're looking at somebody's and advising somebody about their website, that's one of those first obvious things you're going to point out, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, it is. It's probably overstated today. So when I say it, people watching or listening might shrug their shoulders like, of course.
Yeah.
But it's absolutely mobile-first. way more than 50% of all searches going to Google today are from a mobile device. You know, so right there, that's, you know, that's your indicator that if you haven't made yourself mobile friendly, you're already behind. You're already losing half the traffic you might be able to get or more. We're even seeing it from desktop searches, that websites that aren't mobile friendly seem to be moving down. And there's really, I shouldn't say no excuse, but it's not that hard to make a site mobile friendly, unless you, you know, you're again a Fortune 500, you build a custom platform or whatever. But if you have a, you know, WordPress or any other standard site out there, it's pretty easy to at least make them mobile friendly. It might not mean you're building AMP pages yet or whatever, but you can make it mobile friendly.
Yeah, I remember you were came into our office some years ago when we were in what my wife likes to call our bachelor pad office, and taught our team SEO.
Yep.
And that was really valuable. One of the things that still rattles around this office all the time is a piece of wisdom that you shared where you challenged people, how long do you spend creating the video? And then people are like, well, maybe a total, maybe 5 hours, maybe 10 hours on this one video. And how long do you spend on the title? And then most people are like, oh, we just knocked the title out. And then you did a correction and was like, at least spend 15 minutes on just the title. We talk about the value of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh,
the it's still relevant today.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And I love when I see people out there saying, oh, you know, SEO doesn't work anymore, or the title tag doesn't matter. It's like, oh man, I can prove over and over and over again. It just simply by going in and changing the titles on existing content, you can see a lift. Mm-hmm. So, you know, no one will ever right now anyway convince me titles and title tags don't matter. But yeah, well, not just the title, but I often say, like, you know, the example you gave, you spent 5, 10, 20 hours creating this amazing piece of content, and all you really want to do is push the publish button.
Right.
But if you would stop for that 10, 15, 20 minutes, make sure the title's right, at least add a meta description, right? Make sure, and when I say title, I mean the title of the content and your H1, and they could be different, right? The title tag, it could be different. But, you know, just get those things right. You know, maybe check to make sure that, you know, you've set the content up well and all that, and then hit publish. It can make all the difference. And if you just think about one advantage, is most social media play. So if you're going to, you know, if you want people to tweet it, push it out on Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever, it's grabbing the title tag and the meta description. Google search results grab your title tag and your meta description. So of course you should spend a reasonable, you know, what is that, 5% of your time creating the content to get that right, because it's going to matter.
It's funny, most people just crank that out and move on, and they create a disadvantage after trying to put their best foot forward.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, it's a disadvantage, right.
It's a disadvantage. Right. Arnie, I know back in episode 117, we had Eric Solon from Vertical Measures on this very podcast. And I think he alluded that there's a new book coming. I know you've had other books that you've done that we've all read in the industry. Tell me about what's coming.
Well, the current book that's out is called Content Marketing Works. And it really was based on my first one called Accelerate, when I was really, now I reflect, you know, learning about content marketing and trying to get the word out about content marketing. Content Marketing Works was the next level, really based on here's the mistakes we made, here's what we figured out works, and it's a step-by-step approach on how to do content marketing. But what we're seeing is the kind of, you know, the future trend, and actually you're really familiar with this from your traditional background, but, you know, whatever it was, 15, 20 years ago when most money was going to traditional, you might have an ad budget and you might splice off 2 or 5%, or if it was big enough, 0% to actually do the creative, right? I mean, advertisers wouldn't sometimes not even have to pay to have the ads created. So all the money was being spent to amplify that ad or that content. Well, the content marketing world has completely switched that upside down to where all the money is going into producing content and nobody's shaving off any to help actually amplify it and to get it out there. And today, because everybody really understands content marketing and why you'd want to do content marketing, I think, a lot of content's being produced. So now what's going to have to help get you going forward is to take some of that budget and putting it into spend. So our team is actually writing our next book. I just got an update this morning. We're hoping to publish it in January. So that would be, for whoever's listening, January of 2018. and you can call and see if we did. But it's, I forget the exact title, but it's about the customer journey and amplifying content. And it's going to be pretty heavy on all of the different tools available to use paid media to get that done, whether it's social, programmatic, classic AdWords, you know, Twitter, which is falls under social, lead nurture, whatever it might be. So that's what the next book's going to be all about, is just teaching people how to amplify their content.
Really smart, because I think there's a blind spot in that area for in-house marketing that may not understand how to use those tools, what tools are available, and then really what the tactics are in order to get that content right in front of the right eyeballs.
Yep.
Yeah, that's super. You could tell from Eric's interview, you got a very smart addition to your team of rock stars. And I know I'll be a reader when that thing comes out. I'd love to have you back on the podcast.
Sure, love it. And actually, if I can give a little plug, Eric and his team, 2 days from now, I think, September 21st anyway, is going to roll out something called Content Amp Camp. And you can probably search.
Up.
Are you?
I signed up like so, as soon as I saw.
Do you remember the URL? I think it's vert.ms/ well, whatever. Just do a Google search. Yeah. Maybe you'll find
it Content is Amp Camp. I saw that.
Yeah, or just hit our homepage and hopefully you can find it. But
we'll put it on the show notes page.
And actually, you'll be happy to know it's a 6-video training series.
Beautiful.
That we did internally, and it comes with little workbooks and a LinkedIn group that you can join, and it's just a quick, simple program to get people up to speed on all the different ways you can amplify content in today's world.
And this is going to be on demand, or does it happen just once?
It is on demand. Okay. So you can it will be released on September 21st, but like you did, you can pre-register. You'll get an email saying, okay, come on in, it's all ready for you. And then you can take those videos and the course at your own pace.
Okay, beautiful. I love it. I'm going to talk about it on this podcast. I'll let people know what I'm discovering. I'll also make sure that people get access to it off of the show notes page for this episode, wirebuzz.com/117. And it's interesting. We were talking earlier about the daily commitment that you and I really have to make in order to stay on top of this huge developing industry, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I host the news episode once a week, because it forces me to start looking at information and then figuring out how businesses can use it.
Yep.
And it's become an essential part of my own process of staying ahead of the curve.
Right.
Super cool. All right. We're going to make sure people know about this. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks.
Yeah.
No, actually, what I was thinking is on Friday, we published an industry roundup as well. We do it through text, but it's important to do that, right? It's important to consume and read. And then if you are the one who's actually creating that summary, the newscast that you're doing, it's a good way to stay on top of things.
Well, so I love the blog at verticalmeasures.com. I think it's one of these essential reading for marketers to constantly be up to speed. What you guys are doing is really remarkable. And as trailblazers in the industry, as you have been for 20 years, I wouldn't expect anything else.
Well, thanks, Todd. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Look forward to doing some projects with you in the future.
Yeah, so it's going to be a lot of fun, as it always is. He's Arnie Ken. He's the CEO and the founder of Vertical Measures. As a digital marketer, you are going to get that opportunity where Arnie is speaking in front of a conference that you're at. He does so many speeches a year. I wouldn't be surprised if you ran into him very soon. He's Arnie Ken. Arnie, thanks so much for joining
me. Thanks, Todd. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
A lot of fun.
Thanks.
I love having really smart digital marketers on the podcast. None smarter than Arnie Ken, and a pleasure to have him in our office. He's been a real torch of valuable information, a guiding light, and the Phoenix area is very lucky to have him call home out here. It's great to have them. You know, when you find an agency that you know, like, and trust, they may do 70% of what you need, right? And like Wirebuzz and Vertical Measures, we work closely on projects. We come in and advise each other's companies, which I think has been really cool. At the beginning, I had Arnie come in and teach SEO to my team. It was fun to be there a couple weeks ago and give them a high overview on video marketing and how to use it through the buyer's journey to convince and convert people at faster rates. And so we work together on video projects, on how we can help their clients use video or how our clients can create content and really amplify it the way Vertical Measures does. And it's quite remarkable. Anyway, this is episode 121. If you want to get access to the show notes page for this episode with Arnie Ken, just go to wirebuzz.com/121. And damn it, we should have taken a photo with Arnie when he was here. I don't know how I let him get out of here so quickly, but always nice to have Arnie here. And if this podcast episode was valuable, if it's something that you learn from as a marketer, make sure that you go to iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Hit the subscribe button. Well, you don't have to go to all three. Just go to one, whichever one you use. Like I go to iTunes because I'm an Apple snob. Select the one that's best for you. Hit the subscribe button, and each and every episode 2 a week will get sent directly to your mobile device. All right. If you're rooting for somebody and you know that their business is doing something in the digital space and you want them to stand out, you know, the reason people approach Wirebuzz is their industry has become more and more competitive. And the more competitive an industry is, the faster they are to find a key differentiator like video marketing and a company like ours that's obsessed with ROI, right? Well, if you have a friend that's has a company like that, that needs to really amplify their results, by all means, share this episode with them. And if you want to figure out how to guarantee that your videos generate ROI, then we've created a 5-part video mini course. You can get access to that mini course for free. Yes, for free at wirebuzz.com/ROI, like return on investment. And you can get access again at wirebuzz.com/ROI. Coming up in the next episode will be the latest news that matters to video marketers. And what we're going to do is we're going to synthesize not only the information, but how you can use that information as a business takeaway to amplify your growth so you can generate revenue at faster rates. Anyway, I'm going to give you a big peace out. I'll look forward to the next episode. And along the way, if you've got any questions, don't hesitate to send them in. If you see a news story or somebody you want me to interview, go to wirebuzz.com/pitch with a P, and it'll get sent directly to my inbox. Cool? All right. Thanks for joining me on this episode. Until the next one, I wish you the very best in video marketing and generating ROI.